that your prayer tonight. Lord, fill me. Every ounce of my being, put your hand upon my spirit. Cause my soul to be made live, that I might be able to connect with the frequency that you'll be transmitting on tonight. Make it a prayer, so that that which God will be bringing forth from the heavenly tabernacle, you'll be able to interact with it and interfere with it. You'll be able to connect with that which God is about to do. Lord, we give you praise. We exalt your name. We magnify you because you change not. Neither are you weary. You give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, you increase strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. They shall walk and not faint. We ask tonight, oh God, that you do something in our midst. Something, oh God, that will cause destiny to make an encounter with time. You will cause the heavens to be rent tonight, and you will come down. We connect with your spirit tonight. Oh, we connect with your spirit. We connect with your spirit right now. Right now. Right now. Right now, right now. Maya de maska parana de no sena. Oh Lord, we connect with your spirit. Every form of weariness, every form of gloom, we do away with, that we may flow with the spirit of grace that has been lavishly released upon our gathering tonight. Shabera malada baskamena. Haila barana 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 barana. Sambarana namalaka baskabrana malada. We worship you. We give you praise. We give you glory. For you change now. You change now. You change now. Unto the Lord that answers prayer shall all flesh come. Even in the times of despair, we will come. In the times of affliction, we will come. In the times of intense pressure, we will come. Because we have this pressure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. We have this pressure in earthen vessels. Mangaba salabalahaya. Yeah, kapande masanda babore. Maresto brigade la balona. Ay kama, ay kama. Rabas kangalo de balis kale. Ipa de kode. La kobere nas kinama. Oh, we worship your holy name. Give him glory tonight. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. In Jesus' name. Just in case you came into the sanctuary with a Bible, I'd like you to turn your Bible while standing to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. As we take a bearing in the Spirit and allow the Holy Ghost to navigate us into His very counsel, to quicken us, to give us a perspective that is divine, so that our minds will not interpret things that He does not have the capacity to interpret, but will interpret through the mind of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that with thee is the fountain of life. The very source of life has its roots in your reality. And the Bible also says that in thy light we shall see light. Any man that sees by another light but the true light sees darkly. He sees in darkness. He sees confusion. He does not see in accuracy. Because the Bible says that God is the very compendium of life. And based on the superfluity of His existence, His reality, He gives us light. so that at every point in time in our walk of destiny, we have adequate understanding to know where to set our foot. We understand why a mango tree fell. You understand why you had accident and only you survived. Because light has come from the fountain thereof. Jesus was the one that said that he that cometh up unto me shall by no means walk in darkness. That means it's not possible, it's not capable for you to walk in darkness. It is not our portion to walk in darkness. We must have an accurate understanding that has its roots in the fountain of life. Turn your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6, the Bible says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice that that was a scripture that was given before the Bible revealed that we have this treasure in vessels of earth. You know, the Bible says that no man lights a candle and put it under a bushel. But he says no man does that, but God does that. He didn't say God does not do that. He says no man does that. Every man will need the candlelight to gain advantage in height, so that the illumination will spread his wings across the circumference. But the Bible says that God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone from within our hearts to give unto us an accurate knowledge of the glory that was revealed upon the face of Jesus. Then he said, we have this treasure. What treasure was he talking about actually? In vessels of earth. He has put it under a bushel. If some things are too easy to happen, you will not know it's God. He said that the excellency of the power might be of God. When we have lost all the options of thinking that man can make it happen, then we now wait for him to walk. That's when he steps in. And that's why he put the light. He put the treasure in vessels of earth. So that when he operates the treasure, the vessel will know that it's not within my capacity to function this way. He caused the light, and you see the light actually began to shine from within darkness itself. Many times God will allow darkness to gain some form of intensity and capacity just because he wants to show that he's God. When your understanding becomes unfruitful as to what God is doing and where God is, we can trust him. Because he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is going to put some prayer points upon our lips tonight that will unlock the seeds of bondage, and light will break forth out of every cocoon of darkness. I want you to cry to him today. You see, it's a service of the Holy Ghost. We are trying to access and to figure out the cry that is upon the heart of the Spirit. At this point in time, no carefully orchestrated sermon will do to bring hope to this territory, to this part. So many have fallen. And right now, we need God to speak to us. Right now, that's what we need now. Too many preachers have risen up and trying to give an interpretation to the forecast. But the Bible says it is God that causeth the light to shine out of darkness. That is something that a man cannot share with God. This is an exclusive preserve of God himself. It is God that causeth the light to shine. I don't know if you have been in a situation before where you were helpless about the circumstance. You were helpless. You were helpless. Have you been there? I've been there many times. Oh my God. We were helpless. And you knew that if God does not show at that point in time, every finger the Lord lifts, you will acknowledge. Because the Bible says, it's only the Lord that causes light to shine out of darkness. You want to cry tonight and say, Lord, shine on. These 3-4 days, shine on. Shine on by your spirit. Shine on and let every darkness be enlightened. Our walk with you is a walk of light. For the Bible says that the path of the just is as a shining light. Darkness should not be figured upon that path. Because it is God that caused the light to shine out of darkness. Light will shine out of darkness. It is God. It is God. No one else can take the glory. When all darkness breaks loose, all hell is made manifest. Then only one can command the light. Only one. Only one. Oh, yeah. We refuse to give up hope. We refuse to allow weariness to swallow us up. For we realize that it is God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Shaka Babanas Cabrandela Boria. Shaborantes Cabramana Cabanaske. Rabescom Ralila Patama. Rapedas Cambola Campes Cabalade. The light to shine. Shine, Holy Ghost. Shine, Holy Ghost. Shine, Holy Ghost. Shine upon me. Shine upon this land. Shine upon every nook and cranny of this nation. For it is God that causes the light to shine out of darkness. And the same God, He has decided to shine upon our hearts to give us revelation so that none of us will walk in darkness. Shine on, Holy Ghost! Shine on! Shine on! Shine on! Shine on! Shine on! The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light.
watch life. Only one can command the light to shine from the very midst of darkness. It is God.
The Lord to guide us by His Spirit to offer an offering that God will receive. There are several circumstances that only God Himself can intervene. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. I think I need to explain that a little. Because somebody may think that we are victims. Our lives are subject to the oppression that is in the environment. The Bible says that the same one that commanded light to come out of darkness, decided to shine from within our hearts. And the reason for His shining is that He doesn't want us to remain the same darkness. He wants us to understand true light and gain insight and revelation into His purposes and plans and His great wisdom that allowed a particular situation to happen for a time. Now, if you are devoid of that knowledge, you may blaspheme because you lack light. The same God that commanded light to shine out of darkness with the same power that He did it, decides that He wants light to shine out of the darkness, the confusion of your heart, so that He can give you revelation. Because God does not want His people to be in the dark as to His own perspective and wisdom concerning situations and circumstances, so that they can represent Him accurately. He is committed to empowering us with light and understanding and revelation. That is His sworn commitment. So much so that the Bible reveals that the very path of the just is likened unto a shining light. I assure you that your knowledge of your purpose and your knowledge of your destiny now is stronger than what it was 5 years ago, because as you keep walking in the path that He has ordained for you, and it happens to be that a path is a road that only one man can walk on at a time. So your own destiny and calling in itself is a mystery, because only you can walk on it. It is shrouded in darkness, hid in the belly of God. But when you begin to walk in it, that God that commanded light to shine out of darkness will begin to shine in your heart and to begin to give you understanding of that path, until your mind can grasp that full intent of the wisdom of God that was manifest in your being born and manifested upon the face of the earth. God is committed to giving His people light, so that they will not walk in darkness. Are you still with me? All right. Because if you don't have an understanding or you have not received that light, the next verse might make you a victim. Alright, now let's check the next verse so that we can pray. I'm just trying to prepare us for the frequency. You see, no matter how good your transistor radio is, if it's not tuned to the frequency, you cannot get the station. There's something that God wants to do these few days. He needs us to be on the frequency. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look upon it quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Now, I need to explain to us that if you don't have that light giving you revelation on the inside, when the pressures come upon you, you will be crushed. The only thing that keeps you strong in the midst of pressure and mighty tempest is that the same God that, oh my God, commanded light to shine out of darkness has come in a strange commitment to bring illumination upon your heart, so that in the midst of pressure, you will be operating the way God wants you to operate, because you are empowered with the revelation of God's perspective about the situation. Now, see, I want to shout, I want to roar this night. Now, so please, give me volume. I need volume. I want to, there are some spirits, some demons, I need to. Oh, Lama Nasina. I went to preach in the city of Jos, and where they left us to stay, we stayed there. As we were entering the place, the Holy Ghost fell upon me and gave me understanding, and I began to prophesy. I began to prophesy, and several secrets about that family was revealed in the parlor, in the sitting room. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? So they gave me a room and said, my God. And that the mother of that house, of that family, said she had a dream that God sent a Adeboye to their house. So she gave me a name, Small Adeboye. Don't laugh. I was afflicted that day. I came out of the room, and as we were studying the Bible, I go to preach, and I come back and I bring the blessings that I collected from the mountaintop. I release it upon the people I'm staying with. Then I saw a damsel fair to look upon, and my soul desired that damsel. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh yeah. Hallelujah. My soul, I saw a damsel that was, the only way I can describe her is that she's like a goddess. All her forms and everything just in perfect alignment. The kind of synchrony and harmony that only Jehovah himself could bring and could establish on a delicate balance. I saw and my soul was pleased. Hallelujah. 1 month later, I took my journey, and I was going to tell the lady my wilderness journey had ended. And the Lord restrained me. He said, when I got to the city, after spending transport money and I arrived, my peace left me. So I knew that I was on my own. You see, I advise you, whenever you find yourself naked, you are no longer clothed, don't finish that mission. Disengage at that point in time. But I was left with darkness. I had no understanding. Why will God not allow me to look upon this fair one? That was darkness. And I knew there was only one that could command what? I don't know whether this my example is bringing. Only one could command light. See, it happens to be that if only one man's signature can make your letter valid, you have patience with him. Because if you get angry and go, you will
cannot find anybody within that caliber that will make your application good. And I stayed with the Lord for 2 months after praying for 2 months, and the Lord refused to answer. I said, sir, it's all right, no problem, since it's not in your interest to answer. You are still God, and I will still follow you even without this answer. And I continued, and the day I was not praying about it, he commanded. Do you realize that God wants to educate you? Because he wants your walk with him to be accurate. He doesn't like you grooving in darkness. There are so many gaps in the revelations that people have about God. That's why God is not real and he's not present in the practicalities of their life. Revelation is God's educational system to bring his divinity into your every moment. Without revelation, we walk in darkness. That's why the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The day I was not asking God, I was no longer pressuring him. I said, just be God, no problem. And I forgot about it. And the day I least expected, the connection to heaven was made and God began to download. Then he reminded me that in the place of prayer and fasting, he told me that he had prepared a dancer. It's after he made that statement that this one appeared. But I observed enough to see that that lady was an angry lady. During my sojourning, that it takes 3 days for her anger to be appeased. If I bring her here, this place would have scattered. So the Lord asked me a question. The lady you saw, is she prepared? Because I gave you information before that the one I've released is prepared. The one you went to see. Then I remember the anger. What was that remembering? Is the Holy Spirit making your mind life? Taking your mind from the mundane frequency and connecting it to the divine frequency, where he begins to think his thoughts through your thoughts so that he can speak his words through your vocal cords. In that instant, light came, and all the darkness of confusion around the situation was dispelled. That's how the path of the just is. And it's like that for you as an individual. It's like that for us as a corporate body of Christ represented in a territory. That situations can come that are perplexing. But it is not in God's interest to perpetually leave us in darkness as to what his perspective is. Are you still with me? All right. Because if you don't see from the eyes of God, when the pressure comes, you will have no shock absorber on the inside to make you still see that which God saw before he set you out. And I tell you the truth. Okay. I think I'm jumping too fast. Sit down. I'm too fast this evening. But for tonight is one prayer we are going to pray. I'm concocting a prayer for us. It's only the man that has an understanding. The volume I'm looking for, I've not gotten it. I want to cry. If you are here, say amen. Amen. See, Christianity is not it's not a trick. It's a walk. It's a walk with God. If you turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you will see some people, you will see the description and the definition of faith. You will realize that faith was not a tool. It's not a tool with which, because all we see about faith is that tool with which we can bring things from the realm of the spirit into the natural. But if you check the examples of people that walk by faith, you will see that faith is a gift that God has imparted into our spirit by the Holy Ghost, to first and foremost enable us to walk with him. Check it very well. You will see that by faith a man obeyed God. by faith a man satisfied God. You will see, it's a gift. And that's why when you study your Bible, you get to see that faith is a gift, faith is a word, faith is a spirit, and faith is a fruit. And most times when we begin to look at the whole scope of faith, it makes our current description and definition of faith mundane. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. We'll have time to profile the moves of God that are taking place in this nation and where we are on the map right now, because God is committed to giving his people light. He by no means gains anything from you groping in darkness, for it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Are you still with me? You can be sitting close to something that is part of your destiny, and you will never know until God commands the light to shine out of darkness. For 5 months, I kept praying and I kept fasting. Lord, why did you send me to Lagos? Prayed and prayed. Pray. You see, the reason why he's God is because amen. Do you realize that that you prayed is not enough reason for God to speak to you? I found out more practically this time. That you pray, there you know. See, first and foremost, you must understand that he's a king and he will only do what he wants to do. Just know that. If not, I felt I had prayed enough to earn an answer. After 1 month of prayer and fasting, 2 months of prayer and fasting, haba. 3 months! And I know that there was no sin around my camp. Was that not enough time for God to speak to me? My antenna was open in the bus, in the office. Sometimes instead of taking a bike, I'd walk it all the way with tongues. No mail for me today. No text message from heaven. And very soon, if you don't know how to deal with darkness, discouragement will enter. But the truth of the matter is that there is only one that can command light out of darkness. And if he has decided not to command it yet, there is nothing you can do to facilitate it, to influence it. You see, in your work with God, you come to realize that he is a king. Have you not gone to a meeting before and you gave expecting that there will be a miracle, and you were afflicted with diverse pressures for several months? Nothing changed. Has it happened to you before? Several months, nothing changed. And then understanding begins to come to us that the God we are serving is a king. And you must learn to position yourself to appreciate his will. Because faith is not superior to the will of God. My faith cannot change the will of God. My prayer cannot change what God wants to do. What God wants to give to me in 5 months' time, the fact that I'm praying and crying will not make him say it to me in 2 days' time. He's a king. And that we must appreciate in our walk with him. So after 5 months of praying and 5 months of fasting, I was becoming weary. Sometimes I just come like that. I pray in tongues, pray till morning. I see other things. I see you. I pray for you. But the issue that I raise before God is not being addressed now. And there's nothing you can do about it, because it is only God that can command the light. Then in the midst of my weariness, and I was discouraged that God did not answer me after 5 months, and I was in limbo. You know that time where
you don't know whether to continue again or whether to devise another method. When you have exhausted your wisdom, you have exhausted your method, and you have exhausted your strength, and then he just shows you that, well, according to my calendar, it is today I was supposed to give you. I enjoyed all the times of fellowship, and all the times of fellowship gave me an opportunity to show you the things to pray for. But as touching the matter that is pressurizing your heart, it was after 5 months, 25 days, that it was my pleasure to let it loose. And there was nothing under the sun you could do to hasten it. I have come to appreciate the King. In fact, when God was about to give me insight into the issues that were upon my heart, first of all, he gave me a dream. A dream without an interpretation. Because when God quickens a dream into your heart, you will need God's wisdom to unlock it. He gave me another one that was a continuation of the first one, and gave me a third one, and there was no interpretation. I used my brain, but all the parts of the jigsaw puzzle did not fit. All he was trying to teach me was that it is God that commands the light to shine. I have this understanding that I'm very precious before God. I have that understanding. So I believe that because of my stature with God, I can influence him a bit. That is my understanding. Hallelujah. And I stand before him. I stand like that. I say, Lord. Then for 5 months, it was humbling to know this thing, that only him had the capacity, the ability to command the light. I was battling with 3 dreams. Because anytime I receive a dream that I don't have the interpretation, it means that God is saying, pray more. Pray more. Several guys have had dreams and they'll run to us as if we have a chart in the office that we use. They say, okay, blue means this. If anybody goes into that, occultism has entered into it. If you read the book of Daniel, you will know that. I called my wife. I said, this is what I saw. There are some dreams I have that I don't take seriously, but there are some clear ones that I know God is speaking to me. And if God really wants to speak to me, I will not dream about it and forget it. It remains upon the canvas of my mind. It gets me into deep pondering. In fact, it gets me to a point where I become restless and I begin to pray. And in those kind of seasons, only a moment of prayer can give me enough ventilation that will stabilize me. But with all of that, God decided to keep me in darkness for a while. Then when the day came for God to break the silence, he now made a statement that connected everything that he showed. When I now went to him and said, why are you doing this? He now led me to this scripture I just read now. It is what? So the best of what we do without his own ability is futile. That's what the Bible says. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty only through God. Now you might stand here and shout, and as you were shouting, somebody was healed. That scripture is trying to make us understand that your shout had nothing to do with the healing. Because every natural man can shout. It's carnal. It's natural for people to shout. But beyond your shout, there was something that happened. actually, the reason why you shouted was because you were prompted by God to shout as a means of triggering divine power, which has the ability to heal. And so Paul began to say that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Might comes upon that which we do because God instructed it, and through it God has an opening to walk. Do you see that now? Prayer only has power because God walks through it. Because not only you pray, Muslims pray, Hindu pray, all kinds, even witchcraft people too, they consult. But what makes what you do powerful is because Christ in you quickens you. And when a man that is quickened begins to do natural things, the results are extraordinary. They are not natural. Just as the Spirit of God needs to quicken you for you to pray, He also needs to quicken your mind for you to have understanding of that which is secret. Hallelujah. He has to quicken your understanding and bring your thought frequency into His own thought frequency. I want us to consider a few thoughts tonight as we drive into the belly of the burden that God has placed upon my heart. In a moment of time, I would like you to welcome the person sitting by your left hand and by your right hand. Be polite enough to tell them that every darkness that is within, God will give light to it. I was praying and God put a scripture upon my lips. He said, "Thou will light my candle." The Lord will enlighten my darkness. And I was pondering upon it. That's what is going to happen to somebody here tonight. Amen. Many things will take place simultaneously. But one thing I'm very sure of is that God will begin to give illumination to darkness. Because it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Turn your Bible with me as we study along the book of Jeremiah chapter 10. Establish a premise so that we can move from one step to the other. The Lord helping us. Jeremiah chapter 10. Amen. Are you with me? It's a long journey, but I just want you to follow me quickly. Now, I'll be speaking in parables. People that have ears will hear me. Others will hear a good message. But some others will understand what I'm saying. But I pray that God will bring light to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Jeremiah chapter 10, I want to begin to read from verse 1. Hear the words which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. Do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest. The work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do good. Before I proceed, I need to bring some light upon them. Are you still with me today? Oh my God. I say, are you with me today? Yes, the Bible says that an idol cannot do evil, neither can it do good. Alright? Will you believe the word of God or you want to believe your own philosophy? He said, an idol cannot do evil or good. I know that if we bring a totem and keep here now, some people will not enter this place. Let me not digress. Let me come. Verse 6. In so much as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great and your name is great in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. Silver is beaten into place. It is brought from Tarshish and gold from Upaz, the work of the craftsman and of the hands of the metalsmith. Blue and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skillful men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King, and at his wrath the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Verse 11 is my emphasis. Thus shall you say unto them. Stop. Do you realize that from verse 1 to verse 10, God was giving the prophet an education? He was giving him illumination or light sufficient in his heart just for him to prophesy. Verse 11. Oh my God, you are not with me. In this kingdom, you cannot function accurately except you have light. Now, so God began to bring some form of education to the prophet. I was wondering the circumstance that befell the people of Israel that made God to go into an elaborate educational time for the prophet to upgrade his understanding in order for him to bear a word of God to the people. Obviously, it was a season where there was contention as to whether the Lord was supreme. It was a season where there was contention as to whether the idols that were carried by the people that made the loudest noise was more potent than the power of Jehovah. And God had to bring the prophet to some form of education to enlighten him and to upgrade his technology before he bears a prophecy. That is what a burden is. You cannot carry a burden without a burden affecting you. If it is true that you are carrying a burden, God will make you on your burden one. It is on the strength of that burden that you have experienced that you can carry a prophetic message that can rout the rivers and cause the belly of Leviathan to be revealed. It's not just phonetics. There's something that moves, that travels. When a prophet speaks, I found out how they get that enormous power. God takes time to enlighten them and to make them one with that which they are declaring. And he does this by bringing light, causing light to shine out of darkness. He does that by bringing illumination upon their heart and revelation. It's just like a woman that is pregnant. She will feel every time of the 9 months. That's how the burden of the Lord is. There was a time that God came to Ezekiel and God said, "All right, I'm about to bring judgment upon the land. I'll bring judgment of 40 days upon Jerusalem. 40 years upon Jerusalem. So, for 40 nights, lie on your left side." You are not with me. And each night was symbolic of 1 year. In order for him to qualify to carry the prophetic message, he must have experienced the impact of the body, so that when the prophet goes into the city to declare the counsel of God, every fiber of his being is proclaiming the voice of God, because everything about his reality has tasted of the body. It's not in God's interest for his people to walk in darkness. He is committed to bringing illumination, to bringing light. Hallelujah. If Jesus said that he that comes after me shall by no means walk in darkness, if Jesus said that, then it is something that I have right to ask him to deliver. Alright, he said that. But you see, you might study your Bible and not know that you have a right to seek light after reading that statement. It doesn't impact upon your practice of Christianity. It doesn't impact upon your practice of your faith, the expression of your faith. How I wish that the words that you read in scripture will come alive, and we find a place. It will upgrade your lifestyle, your faith, your frequency, and your capacity. Hallelujah. Do you know something? I might pray and get tired, but there's something inside of my heart that never gets tired. The fact that Jesus said, he that cometh after me shall by no means walk in darkness. So I might be tired, I might be discouraged, but I know that I have a right to light. And that right was revealed to me when Jesus made that statement. He gave me insight into the inheritance that I have in the kingdom of God, because it is a kingdom of light. The Bible says that we have been called out of the kingdom of darkness, and right now we operate in the kingdom of light. And one of the attributes of the kingdom of light is that God is committed to causing light to spring forth out of your heart in order to give you the advantage of precision. And you know why things are happening, and you know what to do about the situation, about the circumstance. If you linger too much around the corridors of darkness, there's a possibility that when the pressure begins to come, you may not have the right frame of mind to handle it and to go through it. Are you with me? So this guy was educated. And you know, these things that are summarized into 10 verses here might have taken 10 days. You know, God normally does not speak too much. God doesn't speak much. I hope you know that. But he answers much. I'm talking about the practicalities of the Christian life. He doesn't speak much. You will not just wake up and say, Pastor Joe, all right, I want to talk today. No. Most of the time when you get God to talk is when you yourself start talking to him. He answers much, he responds much, but he doesn't speak much. It's not as if God cannot come to you and wake you up and say, I want to tell you some stuff now. But if God does that, most of the time he doesn't say much. That little he told you is expected that will become a bait that will make you seek for more. Daniel was a good student of the school of the spirit. Every time a vision came to him, he will probe the one that brought the vision. No understanding of that. That's a school of spiritual intelligence. Oh my God, the Christian life is sweet if you know what to do with the opportunities God gives you and with your own level of fellowship with God. You are not with me. We are on it. Okay. No. Mabidi Mali. No. Mabidi Mali. Sing that song one more time. I know my Redeemer lives. I know. Even when things are difficult, I know that is upon my heart. It has been inscribed. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know. God doesn't talk much, but he answers much. Christianity is full-time business. You can't do it part-time and excel. There must be a practice of God that you take into your office. There's nothing like sacred and secular. And then you go to the marketplace, you go to where you do business, you forget about God and practice on the principles of Babylon and then come back to church. You will never grow that way. You will never grow that way. Hallelujah. There's one aspect of our job that we do now. When you are chosen to be one of the people that go there, I didn't know why people were lobbying to go. Until one day I was among the people that went. And it's a risky job. And I now saw that when they go there, they give 100,000 naira bribe. Sorry. We left this realm long time. It's not, no, we dealt with this long time ago, not now. No. Do you know that he lives? Do you know? If they bring 1 million now and say, take and lie, do you still know? That thing is not cliche. It's not talk. It is something that has become furnished by reality, that are constituted a body that every fiber of your being can testify to. It's not a cliche. There is a point that God will do something on your heart. Eh? Money can't shift you. There's a point that God will do something upon your heart. A naked woman can't move you. It's something that is with you now because of something that God did. Just like I said, God doesn't talk much, but he answers much. And so if God visits your bedroom and begins to speak to you, the things he will tell you that day are not, is not all that he actually wanted to say, but his nature is that he doesn't speak more. It's not a talkative. And if you are a wise man and a skillful student of the Spirit, you will press more. Because there must be some things in the things that God has said that are mind-boggling. They are far beyond the frame of your mindset. You can probe more, you can inquire more and press. And you'll find out that he did not actually dispense everything he brought. If we check critically this verse, this chapter of the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 10, you will come to find out that he did not get all these revelations in the same encounter. See, we don't have time to probe it because we have a long journey to go in upgrading so that we can operate on an acceptable frequency. If we probe it, we will come to see that it took time, it took process. The fact that you are a prophet does not mean God will speak to you every day. There are some times where some months you will be in darkness. Not because you sinned, because God has a nature of hiding himself. It's part of his nature. If you serve God long enough, you know that there are seasons where God just keeps quiet. Meanwhile, you are hot in the spirit. You are pressing. You are fasting. But there is a season that he keeps quiet. The reason is because he wants you to learn how to trust him. He will hide every trace of his consciousness around you. Because he wants you to trust him. Please help me tell your neighbor that if you can't find God, trust him. Many times you will be inquiring and you say you want God's input about a matter, and you pray and pray and don't get God's input. Most times, not every time, but most times, God is saying, I trust you to take the right decision. It's not every time he will come and say, okay, this is what I'm saying about it. No, there are sometimes he will allow you. He has confidence in that which he has already built in your life, and he wants you to exercise it in discretion and in discernment. You are not with me. It took some time before this man gathered this education. I don't know about you, I'm not a fast learner in the school of the spirit. When God comes and says, young man, because there was a time in my life where I was a champion stammerer, and God came to me and said, you will preach my message to the ends of the earth. I say, let's understand this thing. If you want someone to preach for you, you would have looked for the person that you gave the ability. Don't mock us. You see, I understand. I like myself like this. But if you bring this challenge now, I'll begin to see how inadequate I am. I may not be good for my self-esteem. Then, in that encounter, an angel of the Lord struck me with a scroll, and there was great pain. When I recovered from the vision, the pain was still there upon me. Then I realized that God that can make a deaf man talk can make a stammering man an orator. See. I know you know it in your head, but it will take an experience and an encounter with God before it becomes a part of you. It becomes a body. It becomes something that you have carried experientially and your body can testify about. That one cannot leave you. Even in the midst of pressure, it will abide with you. That is what you arm yourself with when you are under pressure and you come out alive. It's not all of those things you write in your notebook. Most times it remains just in the notebook. It's that which God has crafted into your heart by a revelation that he allows you to experientially receive, that remains with you as a close companion all through your journey in life. So at this point in time, in the realm of the spirit, I don't know if it will discourage you, if what I will say will discourage you. I don't know, but let me tell you the truth. Should I say something? In the realm of the spirit at this point in time, you know, I started saying something some time ago, and I said that for the past 8 years, God has been taking his people through a strenuous experience in order to build substance and capacity in them. The reason God did that was so that a season that was about to come, they'll be able to survive. Right now, it is what you have become by the dealings that you have yielded successfully to that is going to determine the extent to which you can run with God. I know you didn't hear that, but I will say it again. A lot of people got involved with the rat race. Do you realize that growth in the spirit takes process, and most of them are not friends to the flesh? You learn, you will say no many more times to yourself than you will say to other people. If you are a spiritual man, but a carnal man likes saying yes to himself many times. You will look upon a damsel and she'll be fair to look upon, and you feel like touching her cheeks. You have to say no. That, oh my God, it seems all of you guys are glorified. You are up there. Okay. Oh, I forgot that I'm preaching to spiritual people. Oh, this doesn't happen to you. It's only you will say many more no's to yourself than you will say to other people. And many times when you say no to yourself, you will feel pain. That's the process of bringing to death that which has authority, so that the true authority that God has established inside of your spirit will begin to rise up, and God will become king in your universe. Do you realize that most of the knowledge of God that you get to acquire comes through the dealings of the Lord that you successfully yield to accurately. That's where you get the implant of God that gives you knowledge about the operations of God, about the ways of God. Do you realize that a man that does not understand the ways of God has no future? He has no future. It's better for him to die now. He doesn't know the principles by which God operates. He doesn't know how God operates. And when God comes to teach you and to educate you, he comes through circumstances and situations that bring you normally to the end of yourself. Because when you have come to the end of yourself, you stop struggling. And you know the only option that is left is divine intervention. Then you can now acknowledge that it is only God that can cause the light to shine. It's not every day, it's not every time, but there's a situation that you enter into where your humanity fails to have the capacity and the stature to bring deliverance to you. Then you look to God. It's at those moments that you get precious insight into the operation of the ways of God, and those lessons that you receive remain with you as a close companion. That was what God was taking the prophet to. Because if I sample this congregation right now, I still know that there are some people here that still believe that an idol has power. What do they call that one in Tivland? That they, no, not swim. They use it to make money. There is even one that has mirror. If they want to kill somebody, they bring it and put. And then when you see the mirror, the demon will snap you. And then the spirit of death will be released to follow you. What's the name of that one? Alright. I think that name there sounds like it. Somehow, in your mind, in your heart, you may not say it with your mouth, but you believe that there's some power resident in it. I know you guys will not accept that. You will not agree to that. But the average believer here believes that there's some power resident in it. So God needed to take this guy to a school that will imprint upon the canvas of his mind and do a permanent damage to his understanding and upgrade him to a point where he sees and understands and knows that an idol cannot do neither good nor evil. This educational process had to take place for a long time because God was sending him to a people that have been deceived, the people that have believed the lie, so that he would bring the prophetic word for their deliverance. But he had to go to a school before he would qualify to deliver the Lord's message. Should I say something? You see, the quagmire, the trouble of present day ministry is that people that have not paid the price are on the pulpit. The truth of the matter is that you can quote scripture and you use the right verse, you use the right story to back your message up, and what you are saying is still a lie. Why? You have not, if we check your heart, it is not there. It has not been forged into your heart. Hallelujah. When you see warriors of old, the sword that they used to get the first victory, they will never change it. They will continue to use that sword because they know it. When they brought the armor of Saul and put on David, I have not tested it. I don't know how it will. I don't know it. A warrior doesn't change his sword. He keeps using it. And any time a warrior changes his sword, it is recorded in the Chronicles. Do you remember that giant that has six fingers, six toes? And the Bible says that he had a new sword that was in the shape of a weaver's beam. That was the first time he changed his sword. A new, and it was recorded in the Chronicles. Because warriors don't. He must have consulted a shrine, and the shrine said, okay, the days of the old one, there are notorious enemies that are coming, you need to forge another. And most times new swords were forged with strong incantation, and when they were forged, they were kept in shrines so that the blessing of the gods will come upon it. warrior doesn't change his sword like that. It doesn't change. Because when you come into practical life situations where it's do or die, you can only use what you trust. Alright? In practical life situations, the knowledge you write on the books, in your notebooks, most times flees away when pressure comes. It's only that which has been inscribed upon your heart. It stays with the pressure. I want us to pray tonight and say, Lord, take me deeper. Take me beyond the shallow. Oh my God, when little pressure comes, people's testimony. But it's in the midst of the pressure that God commands the light to shine. That's where it infuses upon your heart a revelation that will give you an understanding of Him and a capacity to believe Him in a new realm, a new dimension that will place a demand on His power and bring you into a consistent state of perpetual victory in connection to that truth that has been revealed to your heart. That's why men that pass through process, they became princes. Everywhere they face, everywhere God sent them, a door has to open. The devil knows, in fact, a time will come in the life of a prince where when the devil knows he's coming, he leaves before he comes. Because there's no point proving what you already ascertained again and again and again. The devil knows that this one has received some impressions upon his heart that gives him insight into the capacity of God. He can say like Job, I know. That knowing is not the one you get in the library. Because if I tell you the condition that Job was when he said that, boils were all over his body. The only posture he could stay in order to feel a little better was that they will gather a heap of ashes, and he being naked will alight upon the ashes gradually, and he will fuse into the ashes, and his image will be formed upon the ashes. Just in case he rises up, you will see Job on the ashes. It was only in that form that a man could stay and feel a little better. That was the form that he was, the posture that he was, that his wife saw him and said, see, don't be a liability to us. Just curse God and die. But you see, in the night time when Job sits upon the ash heap, the only thing he could see was up there. And it was easy for him to notice that there were always three stars that faced the side of the magnetic north. You know, I know you have not been conscious of the clouds, the sky lately. But Job had nowhere to turn to when his affliction came. He began to study astronomy and noticed that there were three stars that were always facing. The others could change. Some were shooting stars, some were twinkling stars, but there were three stars that were always together. If you read the book of Job very well, he mentioned their names. I don't want to go into that right now. But when he saw that those three stars never changed in the constellations, he said, I know. Everything might be changing. There's something that is constant. I know that my redeemer lives. It's not a knowledge that came out of funfair. It was inscribed upon his heart. There is no form of affliction and strokes of the cane you give that man that he can do away with that reality. That reality has been fused into his very essence. And it is only when you put him to death that that reality will die. Because he has known it by the light that shines and gushes out of darkness. No form of circumstance can bring that knowledge to an end. Do you get it now? Alright. So the prophet was going through an educational system in order for him to bear the word of the Lord. And what exactly was that word that he was supposed to bear? In Jeremiah chapter 10, I want you to look at it before we make progress. We make progress. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 11, the Bible says, and thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. So it means that somehow these gods, their manifestation in the territory was worthy of note. They have brought in, they have been able to smuggle deception into the terrain, so much so that people had confidence in their ability much more than the ability of God. It was like a time, a season that God decided to be silent. And he allowed demons, he allowed all kinds of stuff and people that boasted for the devil. He allowed them to have a field day. And there was much confusion, not just in the land, but among God's people. And in order for the prophet to qualify to bear the word of God in that season, God had to take the... Because at this point in time, the prophet's convention was not too different from the people. So he had to go to school to be able to carry the message that will enlighten the people. He said, any God that did not create the heavens and the earth will perish from under heaven. Did you get that one? It will perish. So if a man has grown high and has gained stature by darkness, this education that the prophet has received, has revealed that such a man will perish from under the heavens. At least God gives us, you see, when God speaks to you, he shows you endpoints. He doesn't get to show you process. God will come to your bedside and say, I'm going to make you a mighty evangelist, and your row will take off from Adipo. It will pass through Kanshio. It will go to Jos, Plateau State. It will enter Cameroon. Okay? But he will not tell you the process. If you consider that verse now, I say, all the gods that have not made heaven and earth shall perish from under this heaven. End point. And all the people that have grown high by their power will perish with them. End point. But many times God keeps the process in hiding. Why? He wants to allow darkness accumulate effectively, intensely and immensely. Then he commands the light to shine. In that day, it will be acknowledged that only God has the ability to command such light. Come with me. I need to profile some scriptures. Can we go to Psalms 33 quickly? Let me teach this night first to bring us into understanding. Then we will pray tomorrow and we'll prophesy next tomorrow. Hallelujah. Psalms 33. All right. Let me read to us from verse number 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. How? If we had time, would have looked at that, would have shown us. Okay, I think I did that study here once some time ago. I showed us how God created the heavens. There were three things he did. He created the earth, he formed the earth, and he breathed on the earth. Created the heavens, formed the heavens, breathed on the heavens. Created man, form man, breathe on man, so that man can function in the earth and function in heaven at the same time. And only man is like that. You know, we did that study. And we also established in that study that if God should get angry and withdraw his breath, everything that is upheld by his breath will disintegrate. And man will go back to dust. So what keeps everything in place and in shape now is the breath breath of God that has gone out, and that breath cannot return just yet to him. Do you realize that the Bible says that God upholds everything by the word of his power? So what if he withdraws it? Everything will disintegrate. And that's why the Bible is saying that any God that is not the one whose breath is upholding the heavens and the earth is operating illegally, and his destiny is that it will perish. Everyone that went and rose by their power will be forgotten. Let's go on in the book of Psalms. Let's go on. In Psalms 33, where did I stop there? Okay, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap, and lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and he stood fast. Now I want us to take note of verse 10. He said the Lord brings the counsel of nations to nothing. Now wait. Just now the psalmist is talking about the greatness of God and how God formed the world. How that the breath of the Lord holds everything that God has put in place. We saw in the book of Job that if God should withdraw his breath, everything that is held by his breath will disintegrate. And man will go back to dust. The heavens will disintegrate. The earth will disintegrate. Now, having given us that knowledge, he now say God bringeth the counsel of nations to nothing. This scripture takes us to Psalms 2. Where the Bible says that the kings set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. We need to balance that scripture. Because we understand that anybody that is in authority, according to the scripture, is a minister of God. Alright? But it is possible for somebody to be in authority and he joins league with darkness to formulate policies and to go in a certain way that is contrary to the will of God. At that point in time, are you with me now? God is against that counsel. And the Bible says that this God, whose breath sustains everything, he brings not just everything to nothing, but he brings the counsel of nations to nothing. That means that God can allow you plan. He can allow somebody of influence, you know, you to a great extent. By the instrumentality of your will, you can decide what you want and decide. That is if you are still growing up in the Lord and you have not yet understood that you are not here to do what you want, but you are here to do what God wants. And if you are somebody that is desiring God and working with God, he will destroy your counsel. Do you realize that? The Bible says that there are many devices in the heart of a man, but only the counsel of God. Can you tell at what point God took you away from your plan and brought you into his plan? Can you still remember? You have a good date. You have a date for that. Where God exhumed you out of your plan. And I don't think you do. Because the spiritual realm and the natural realm are so intertwined. According to the book of Proverbs, the Bible said that I went to the field of a man, a lazy farmer, and I saw that the stone wall was broken down and he was overcarried with weeds. And wisdom began to speak to him. He said, get a little sleep. A little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty shall come like a man that travaileth, and want like an armed warrior. According to that man, the spirit realm and the natural are blended together, so much so that you may not even be able to successfully find the boundary in the dealings of God as he takes you from your own kingdom and makes you a subject in his. You may not even know at what point the transition came, but you begin to see that your desires have shifted. I don't hear. see, I'm talking about meticulous and little dealings that took you away from your counsel, made your counsel come to naught. If some people's counsel are prospered now, some of you will not be here. Some will be in Chicago. But the Bible said that God, he bringeth what? The counsel of the nations to naught. Just as God was able to bring your own counsel to naught, he can bring the counsel concerning nations that kings have taken in their chambers of power. He can bring it to naught. In fact, in this scripture, the psalmist did not say that the Lord will bring. He said the Lord bringeth the counsel of the nations to nothing. Hallelujah. I will never get tired of letting you know that my dream was to become a lecturer. I love knowledge. I like dispensing it. I like searching it out. And I thought that my calling was to plunge into chemistry, to find out why the carbon bond is hanging on only one atom of hydrogen. And I was particularly devoted and committed to that knowledge. And when God saw that there was no way to distract this man away from becoming a lecturer, he allowed the fuel for lecturing, which is GP. He knows where to touch. Even when you are strong, you are so soft. He knows. And when it happened, you never knew that your government was being overthrown. You never knew that suddenly there was a shift in your life and you were no longer the one in control. He sat on the throne of your life suddenly. And maybe there was no day where you formally gave him charge, but somehow he found himself there and your counsel was overthrown. Listen to me. The council of kings shall fall in a way that even them never imagined. That the excellency of the power might be acknowledged to be of God and not of us. The fire began to drop. The GP dropped to a point where I knew that the ambition for lecturing had died. Then I remembered long time ago that God spoke about me being a preacher. That was the only option left. I said, are you still concerned about the preaching thing? Somehow, I'm back. I never told you before, I was a guy man too. I had those days on BSU campus, I think my shoe was the costliest. I think so. I had a 17,000 naira Sancho's boot. Sancho's. Mandala babo. Saila mandala babo. Malabalalaya mazayana. When I put dark tan polish on it and I stroll out with the slim jeans, Jesus. One day I came back. I had my slim jeans with tongue, so there was tongue on my mouth. Tongue. I'm not saying that God is against slim jeans, but for me, he was against it. I said, no, you took away this, you took away that. The only thing I have left is my Sancho's boot and my slim jeans. This you will never take away. Silence. Sometimes when I worship here, you don't know what I remember. I washed my slim jeans. It was Lee jeans. And I put it, I spread it. That was the last day I saw. And I never had the privilege of seeing anybody wear it till I graduated. I may not find any scripture in the Bible that forbids want to wear slim jeans, but you see, when God begins to deal with you, He has some specifics in His dealing with you that may be different from somebody else. And just in case you are wearing slim jeans now, I have no, nothing against you. I've seen people that have greater stature than myself in the Lord go on slim jeans, and the Lord is good through them. But for me, slim jeans was an issue. And then one day I came back and I saw my Sancho's boot and I didn't like it again. And somebody offered me one shoe that was far more cheaper than my boot. And I felt He has done me a favor. Sancho's boot and slim jeans left. And I didn't record the date of that day. You get it? But a transition had taken place. And God has occupied more territory in my life. And it was, I didn't even know that it had happened. If not, I would have written it down. On the 17th day of June, my slim jeans. Do you get it? And my counsel was brought to naught. And His counsel began to reign. Just as you did not know when the shift took place. You cannot even touch the boundary of His dealings. You didn't know when He gave you a blow that made your entire comportment change. You didn't know what He did to you. So, He will move across the land. And anything that the God that never created the heavens and the earth, anything He has not established, will fall. Because He will release, He will retrieve His breath. And that which does not have a link with His reality will bow. You see, He doesn't need 3 days to plan for it. Just a moment. Come quickly. Where did we stop? Verse. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people to know of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Someone say amen. Amen. I know when the fathers of your household, when they set out, they never planned that the preacher will rise out of their number. The shrines were fortified. The things that were done since the lions and since the ages, the jealousy of the altars were protected. But somehow, one day, nobody knew that this child crying now was going to be for the rise and the fall of men. See, if darkness had light, they would have shut every gate. They never knew that this one that was born, this one, was going to defy the pattern and set up another pedestal. And the name of the generations of this family will only be remembered because a man such as this arose. He says, put to naught the counsel of the people. So as far as this scripture is concerned, God is not perturbed when people plan and scheme. In fact, we can even wait for you to have almost achieved your dream. And that you must have done without taking cognizance of the fact that just in case He withdraws His breath, everything will disintegrate. I know you must have. You feel that by willpower, there's an extent to which you can go. Even witchcraft, you can't fight it by willpower. As small as witchcraft power is, it can resist your will. But the Bible makes us to understand that when God really gets set to work, He brings the counsel of nations to nothing. And He brings the counsel of the people to nothing. Then the psalmist makes a statement here that I don't want us to miss before we close tonight. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of His heart to all generations. My emphasis is verse 12. That's where I want to take our lesson from tonight. It will take us 1 hour 30 minutes. But I need to take permission from you before I start. Because I've looked at the time. It's not enough. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people He has chosen as His own inheritance. That's what I want to look at today. Let me show you how God deals with a people. How does he deal with a people? At least to some extent, those of us that have been working with God for a while, you have started understanding how he deals with you. In fact, you come to a point where you know how God makes you feel when he wants to talk to you. Have you come there? Have you come there? Where you know, some of you, I know somebody that if God wants to talk to him and really wants to talk to him, God will touch him here. So anything he's doing that time, he will stop doing it and go and consult. But mine is not touch. There's a way I feel. I can't describe it. And when I feel that way, I know he's knocking. And I have to stop everything I'm doing and I look for the song of the Spirit. And when I sing the song that he's singing, the river begins to flow from him into my spirit. So when you walk with God, you begin to know the ways of God. And it happens to be that the teaching pattern of God is, most of the time, is not in words. You discern it by revelation of the Spirit. Are you still with me now? Yes, eventually your mind comes to understand that prosperity that your spirit has been trafficking in. But it's perception and discernment that comes by the education of the Spirit as he brings to your knowledge divine things. You get me now? So a time comes when you begin to understand a few things and you begin to align with God and to line up with his Spirit and to line up with his dealing. But I need to let us understand that, you see, God has a method of dealing with a people that he has called his own. In order for us to have a bearing for the direction we want to go into, I would like us to turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 12. I don't want you to be without understanding. God has come down to give us light so that no man will walk in darkness. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Don't forget that scripture. It says, blessed is what? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Blessed is what? Whose God is? Is that all? And the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. He said, they are always blessed. Alright. Genesis chapter 12. Please come with me. Just come with me. We are about to start now. I know the time will not be enough, but we'll take as much as we can take. And we'll proceed like that. And God, somewhere along the line in the program, in the meeting as we go on, he will open the fountain. And he will give us an utterance that we will declare that we unlock the siege that is upon this land. In few days, few weeks from the day we utter that utterance, he will show a sign. Are you still with me? Genesis 12. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Please be careful as we go on. Every comma, every full stop counts. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you what? Now, see, you are not with me. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So when God was talking about nationhood, when he wanted to birth the concept of nationhood, he did not visit a village, he visited what? A man. Be careful after that knowledge that you have received. Because it is deeper than just knowing that God will visit a man. Let's read. And I'll make your name great. I'll make of you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Somebody say, amen. Alright, go with me to Genesis 17 before I begin to expound on that. Genesis 17 verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. Somebody say, my covenant is with you. And you shall be a father of many nations. Did you get it now? Now so, Abraham was called because God had a nation in view. Did you get that point now? Secondly, God had to do something in Abraham that will give him stature in the spirit sufficient enough for him to become the excuse for upon which every family of the earth will be blessed. You are not following me. Alright. This is Joshua. And then God now anoints Joshua, not because of Joshua, but he anoints Joshua because of the middle belt. And then the anointing that he carries is not just for a congregation. Because of that, God will occasion Joshua to be traveling from place to place in the middle belt, because his anointing is a deposit from God that is supposed to connect and to bring about a definite impact on every family that is in the middle belt. So definitely, for Joshua to qualify to carry that kind of anointing that will give him that kind of stature and influence, God must have to deal with him in a certain way, so that if God looks at him, either living in the natural or living in eternity, God has a reason that he is compelled to fulfill the reason for raising Joshua, even though Joshua has finished his assignment and has gone, but his life has produced a character of obedience which is eternal on the heart of God. And on the strength of that life, God will still be coming down to visit the people of the middle belt, because a man, Joshua, was able to gain a particular dimension of stature in the realm of the spirit, and was able to satisfy something on the heart of God. I know you didn't hear that. Because many times God will come after Abraham had died and gone, God will say, and he remembered Abraham. That means there was something that God did in Abraham. Somebody say, in Abraham. That was a reason for God to reach out to every family of the earth. Notice that God did not call him a father of nations. He called him a father of what? Many nations. Indicative of the fact that there was something that God was going to do in this man's life that was going to serve as a template that nations should come and look at and go and practice and practicalize in their territories. Because when God was dealing with him, he was not dealing with him as him. He was dealing with him within his true spiritual context, which was revealed by his calling. And that true spiritual context is that he is a father of many nations as ordained by God. And there's a dealing that God will bring to him that nations will have to come and look at him and copy and go and implement in their territories, if the purpose of God for them will ever come to pass. So I want us to look at this man carefully. Can we look at him and see the things that God did to him that he's expecting nations to come and learn from? Okay, I know you don't understand me. Let's go to Genesis 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely be a great and mighty nation, and all the nation of the earth shall be blessed. What is there? Now, on that line, in. This scripture reveals that out of Abraham a nation will emerge. Do you get that? And all the other nations of the earth had to come and see the way God dealt with that nation, because the way God dealt with that nation is going to serve as a template as to how God will deal with other nations that are called by God. You don't get it. God came and dealt with Abraham, and we need to study Abraham, because Abraham has three titles in the Bible relating to New Testament Christianity and New Testament Christians. Abraham is the father of faith. We need to look at that. Abraham is the friend of God. We'll have to look at that maybe tomorrow. Abraham is the father of many nations. There were dealings that God brought into the life of this man that God is expecting nations to come and draw from, because God did something in him. And the reason why God did that in him is not because of him, but because of his destiny, being what? A father of what? Many nations. So we will have to come, because the Bible reveals to us that Abraham is our father. I know you have not seen that. Okay, come with me to the book of Romans quickly. Romans. I'm praying that God will open your understanding this night. That's my prayer. Romans 4. Verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? This man is asking a question. There is something that Abraham found. What is that thing that Abraham found? Are you with me? We have to find out that which Abraham found, because the thing that Abraham found was not for him, it was for nations. Isaiah 51, second scripture. Isaiah 51, are you still there? Okay, can we see verse 1? Listen unto me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Stop! Before I go on. Have you realized that righteousness is slow? Pastor, have you realized that righteousness is slow? Following the path of righteousness, you want to win by righteousness, is slow. But somebody else that cut corners will run faster than you. Have you realized that? That if you want to cut corners in ministry and you have some prophetic gifts, you can make money easily. Because you come to a place like that, when God uses you, the people under the sound of your voice are totally disarmed. And at that time, you can turn stones to bread. And it may be that you don't even have transport to go back. And the heart of the people are so hardened that they didn't remember that somebody blessed them. And God just opens a little gate for you to, with much affliction, go back to your station. Meanwhile, he brings abundant joy into your spirit. So much so that you don't even feel that affliction. But it's not as if you did not know that there was a possibility for you to cut corners. The Bible says, those of you that have decided to win by righteousness, because it's not everybody in the body of Christ that have resolved that. It seems this, my gospel is not sweet today. Hallelujah. I had an opportunity to travel to some nations to preach the gospel. And the person that God would have used to open that door, I saw something that was not in my training. And I say, It's let it never be said in all time that you took me out. I know I will go out. It's part of my destiny. But I will not take myself there. If it is this way that I will go, I'm not going. Meanwhile, it would have been easy for me. 7 years ago, I would have gone to Ghana and to London. I will not be the one to have paid. The expenses would have been paid. My ticket would have been bought. But I knew it was not God sending me in the place of prayer. Do you realize that to walk with God, to a man that thinks that monotony is an affliction, he might get weary. But that which we call monotony is actually, in the Bible, is called endurance. Because endurance is consistent obedience in the same direction. So that you can get skill and mastery, and your lust can be bridled. Following after righteousness takes time for results to come. But that is the only prescribed way that the Bible reveals that we will win. It calls it what? The path of the just. Only a just man will subscribe to what? That path. So the Bible says that we should look to Abraham, we that have decided to follow after righteousness. Because it's as if the prophet knows that the time will come where people will find other ways of succeeding. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that I went to preach somewhere and they took me to a lady to pray? The pastor had invited me several times to go pray for that lady. I said, no way, man. I came here to preach the gospel. I didn't come here to pray for people. I try as much as possible to keep focused to what I am doing part time. I don't allow side attractions to come into it. I focus on my mission. I was praying and God said, take this message there. He didn't say go around and show that you are healing an evangelist. Alright? So I'm very careful sometimes in some things. It's only that which I'm sure that God is involved with that I get to do. Because when you really, really get anointed, you discover that you can use the anointing without God's permission and it will work. But if you function that way, an erroneous spirit is about to possess your soul. And when I eventually, I left that time, when I came again, I had clearance in my spirit to go visit the woman that is sick. And we had spare time. So from the place where we were to the place where the woman was a long distance. So we prayed in tongues while we went there. I like strolling and praying in tongues. I think my best times are on the streets. I know we pray in tongues in the sanctuary, but the one I enjoy most is on the highway, looking at creation, seeing the Okada man trying to. I'm home, Jesus. And we went to the woman. This woman was paralyzed, and you could see her lungs trying to grasp the next consignment of oxygen. She was more dead than alive, more creature than man. And I was told by the pastor that brought me there that 1 week ago she looked worse. Meanwhile, a prophet came to minister to her and demanded that if they don't give him 50,000, he will not pray for her. That is an indication that is that man still born again? Well, you know, at a point, Paul will say, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Because if we mortals, when you look at some situation, you will wonder. Do you understand? Is it the Spirit of Christ that is inside of you? When you see a frail, and my heart broke, and I was afraid of God. Friends, tell your neighbor, for me, it's better to follow after righteousness. the formula for winning in scripture that is approved by heaven is winning by righteousness. If in your success formula, righteousness does not have a place and process does not have a place, go and meet a native doctor. I recommend a village called Odu in Igala land. Hallelujah. Because you come to realize that winning by righteousness requires process, requires dealing, requires government. That's when you will see that God will begin to deal with every appetite of lawlessness that you have that is not in keeping with his principle. If you are somebody that likes pulpit very well, he will take pulpit from you for 12 years until your love for pulpit dies. Then you say, hey! Now you are qualified. Now, so the Bible says, hearken unto me. Those of you that have decided to win by righteousness, say, look unto Abraham. So he's giving us a clarion call. You are not with me. It is possible for you not to have any need to look at Abraham. That will be that you are not interested in winning by righteousness. But just in case you want to win by righteousness, you realize that the anointing doesn't just come. And just in case the anointing comes, God will not move you to develop character. No. He will not move you and say, develop. No. You are the one that will seek God for him to deal with your character. He won't move you. I've seen people that are anointed but they fornicate. Anointed but they steal. Anointed but they lie. And not just that he lied by mistake, he lives in lying and deception. Meanwhile, he's anointed. And many people that are young in the Lord will look and say, how can an anointed man be living like this? It's because you don't understand. There are other ways. But he said that the people that want to win by righteousness, I give you an example. Look at what? The truth of the matter is this. Early enough in your Christian faith, you need to decide the kind of Christian you want to be. And you need to carefully and meticulously design the path that you are going to follow. Because if you have chosen a path, it will not lead you to another road. It will not lead you to another end. And God in his word has tried as much as possible to guide those people that have sustained the right concept in their heart. That's why the Bible says, say to them that are faint of heart, the Lord cometh. He will come and save you. Every man that has waited for God's genuine hand to move went through a process. He will come. That's a statement of hope. And when he comes, he will what? So that when you tell your story, you will know that there was a time that God was coming. And when God came, there was a change. If there is no tale like that in your life, and your life is just moving glory to glory, we know that the way you let me hallelujah. Okay, and I think I need to balance that. As you wait for God, it is not wrong for you to start small, but it's wrong for you to remain small. Because if it's God that you are waiting for, even though your beginning is small and you have an appointment with God, you are called by God, you are placed by God, God will come and he will make a testimony out of your life, not because of you, but because of the nations. People will have to come and see a practical example of God's dealing in the life of a man, and your story and your lifestyle and his dealings becomes a template. And people that want to get the kind of results you have gotten from God will have to follow the teaching that your life has presented. Did you get this rapport? There's no fast link in the kingdom. The kingdom subscribes to a process. And just in case there's no consistency in your pursuit of God, you will live to old age and still remain a baby Christian. And it's not God's fault. A man can find his destiny at the age of 67. That's when he will start pursuing it. He might not have enough time to pursue so much of it, but if he comes and says, Jesus, okay, I'm ready now, he will start at the age of 67, and God will begin to show him the destiny will not change. Now it's a privilege to know God and to be identified with him. And just as I always say, there's nothing like part-time Christianity. Part-time Christianity is the work of folly, because there's no way you can gain mastery in the realm of the spirit enough for you to triumph by the grace of God. When you touch and run, you hit and run, and there's no build up, the edification process is cut short. It's just like a plant, a company that never takes light once and again. The production will never be complete. Put yourself in the process. Circumstances will come that will discourage you. Forget about it and follow through. Situations will come to hit you out and knock you out and give you a wrong perspective. Even when you don't find him, what did I say? Trust him. And your life will not be different from the same pattern that God has created in the life of Abraham. Because he was the one that showed the path of faith. And the Bible said that the just shall live by faith. He said, those of you that want to follow after righteousness, look at. It means that there's something that God has done in Abraham. And if we are going to fulfill our destiny effectively, we must understand the dealings and the lessons that God revealed through his dealing with this man. Because the Bible says that God has done something in him. Paul was the one speaking, and he said, what is that thing that Abraham found with God? So when we talk about nations and how God deals with people, we cannot escape Abraham. I don't have time in my lesson to digress. I would have wanted to digress a little, but I don't have time. I have four questions I want to ask and answer. Amen. First question: what was God's motive for making Abraham a great nation? Don't worry, you will understand where I'm going. Just follow me. What was his motive? I've answered that one already. The answer is in the book of Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 to 18. Can we read that again before I move to the next question? Genesis 18, verse 17 to 18. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. It means that there's a covenant, there is a work of God that is in him, which was not meant for him. It was meant for nations to come and learn. So Abraham's greatness was an indication of the fact that if we follow after righteousness and after the pattern that is revealed in his life, there is a possibility for all of us to end up the way he ended up. That's number one. Number two, through Abraham, God dealt with him in such a way that a nation came out of him. Meanwhile, there was a dealing that God dealt with him, and God testified and said, I have seen that this Abraham will command his children after me. In fact, that was what made him a friend of God. God saw his heart and knew that everyone that passes his way, Abraham will afflict him with the lessons he has learned from God. If God sees your heart like that, and he knows that everyone that comes your way will be afflicted by the lessons and the lectures and the dealings that he has done in your life, God can't leave you anymore. He comes and says, I need to tell you this, because he will command his student. He didn't say he will train his student. He said he will command. Do you know what it means to command? I know it's been long since somebody commanded you. Stop that! That's what the Bible means. If at any point in time you don't have any spiritual person that you are submitted to, you are a loose cannon. I've said that once and again. Hallelujah. And if you are such a person, don't call me in the midnight. Don't call my number for any personal thing. It's possible for you to like the teaching and you come and receive it and go. There's no harm about that. But if the relationship we build from that point, then some form of accountability must come into play, where you will give the license for somebody to command you. I know there'll be no amen till we finish. But command you. If you don't get that level of covenant going with an earthly person that is living, there's a possibility for you to make so many grievous mistakes that will compromise your destiny. A coach doesn't need to be emotional. A coach must be objective. Amen? What is that pause? Barnabas was John Mark's father. Huh? While Timothy was Paul's son. John Mark made a mistake and Paul began to rebuke him. Because of that, Barnabas and Paul separated. Because Barnabas is an emotional person. Paul is objective. And many people will say Paul was hard. Abi? Paul discipled Timothy and brought him into apostolic ministry. Later on in scripture, there was no mention of Barnabas again. We don't know where he ended up. But a time came when Paul said, "All right, bring John Mark to me. He's now profitable unto the ministry." And the word ministry there is diaconate. He became a deacon. Meanwhile, all of them were being discipled into apostolic ministry because he had a mentor that was emotional. He changed his life. He allowed him grow with his excess, and he could not attain to the fullness or the purpose of God for his life. I said that just on a passing note, because we have rebellion and recklessness in this generation, and many people are still thinking they will be great. That's not how it happened. Greatness only comes when we subscribe to that which God did in the life of Abraham. And God will not reinvent it in your case. He will send you to go and check Abraham and to receive the lessons he has already given him. Because the lesson he received was not for him, was for what? Nations. Did you get it? So if you are going to follow after righteousness, there are several times that your flesh will not like it. And there are several times that you will be operating along the line of a particular excess. You need a coach that is not in that way. That this is your love you are doing now. This is your love. So God loved Abraham because Abraham was such a person that he command his children to walk up after his ways. I need to explain that to you. Do you realize that when you have a biological child, and the Bible did not say his biological children, the Bible did not specify, say, his spiritual children. He said he will command what? In order for you to be able to command your biological child in the way of the dealings of the Lord, you will have to bridle your emotion. In fact, there is a great training that must come on you before you can train your biological child to have a spirit, to inherit something spiritual from your life. It is the inability for many men of God to do that their children. Let me stop there. Are you getting the picture? Also, if you have a spiritual child, you must be ready to open the bowels of mercy and kindness and affection that will make that spiritual child trust you and take you in every sense to be a father. That is the concept of family that God wants to build in the kingdom. A pastor is supposed to be a father of a house. And the anointing of the pastor is to create a family-like situation in a spiritual enclave, where everybody understands the grace he carries and his willingness to use that grace to help them fulfill their destiny, and that becomes the basis of their submission to his authority that he received by the grace that is upon his life. A pastor must have a concept of family. Because of that, he can watch over his flock by night. I've lost my sermon. In the night, it takes the heart of father, of family, to stand up in the night and begin to pray. Especially when it's not convenient. And then text messages will come. People going through stuff, going through issues. You have to stand up. The people can send a text and sleep. But if you can't deny that you didn't see it. And if you are a true pastor, with the concept of family, the burden is upon you. In the weakness of your back, you have to speak that tongue. And just in case you know that your strength is not enough, you text other people and commit them. Say, Joshua, if I'm not sleeping, you too, you'll not sleep. Guys, somebody's in trouble. Let it be that all the efforts were exhausted. And the matter could not be helped. But at least you played your role. For that kind of a setup to find expression, there must be commitment and accountability. And there must be a room for a father to command. You know, when we talk about greatness in Abraham, everybody wants to identify with it. In fact, a song was coined. Can we sing? What's that song?
Abraham's blessings are mine.
Who is the drummer? Please help us.
Abraham.
Please don't be in a hurry. Don't. And in the evening too. The one you receive, the one is not enough. What in the evening?
The Yama. The Yama.
He wants to connect with the blessings of Abraham, not just in the morning, the one he receives in the morning and in the evening time. There must be a portion for him in the evening. But he has not yet decided to follow the precepts that the life is his life is a template for nations. His life is a template for nations. The Bible said God called him alone and blessed him. Before the time God called him, between the time God called him and God blessed him, his process. And God did not tell him that one. But the process forms the template. It is through the process that he was able to know God that much to be able to be called a man of faith because of his dealings with a God that he knew. His process that brought him to that point. And what we have today as Christianity is not strong and is actually at the verge of extinction. If our generation does not rededicate and undertake to bear it up. Most of what is left is religion that has been carved out by the traditions of men and the perspective of human imagination and human wisdom. But we have this challenge before us that biblical Christianity must be restored. To that end, the devil fights so that goal will never be achieved. I've not reached where I'm going. We can't even pray the prayer yet. It's far. Abraham went through process, and the Bible says God has seen his heart and seen his future, and he knows that where Abraham has reached, all his children he will command. Do you get it? All his children he will what? The gospel I preached till today, I didn't cajole anybody to give money till today. And most of the people here that say they suffer, they didn't even suffer like me. You know, when somebody is wearing safari,
I said, that young guy is good. I have nothing to boast about, because he took everything that I would have boasted about. Even to speak, I pray for long to talk, because tamarind is still with me. It's only when the anointing comes that I have grace to talk. And if I move into the flesh now, the tamarind will come, that the excellence of the power might be of God. And then we begin to know him. Our spirit begins to discern his ways. Then our mind becomes enlightened to understand. Okay, that's why I went through this and went through that. And then that which you have known through rigor, you bring your children into it, because the Bible said that the things that are hidden belong to God, but the ones that are revealed belong to us and to our children. Some people must be brought into it free of charge. They don't need to go through the stress that you went through to get that knowledge. Now that the knowledge has come, people must be led along that path. Has your life? Check your Bible. Check your Bible. It was not the duty of the scribes and the Pharisees to teach the children of Israel. Every father should be a prolific teacher of the Torah. Every father. Let me stop. The Bible says that we should go and find out that which God did in Abraham. We will continue tomorrow. What exactly did God do in Abraham that made him the father of faith? We need 14 days to finish this lecture. And then maybe from the 12th, 10th, 12th, 13th, 14th day, we can now understand the situation of this territory. But you need to understand your own life and to see your lawlessness first, so that we will begin to take dressing from here. When the church is aligned and we pray, God is under oath to hear and to bring deliverance to our land. The only reason why that scripture may not work is because the people that are calling may not be his people. Not as though they are not born again, but their lifestyle is not in conformity with kingdom values. So they don't have enough stature in the realm of the spirit to command the kind of deliverance they are commanding to Jacob. So the only variable that can be wrong there is that the people that are crying may not have enough caliber to move God's hand in that way. That's why we must start from ground level and begin to build the truth, until every one of us has understood his responsibility within the context of this land, and we are ready to perform it. Then you will see the kind of power that the church has. But God gave me a promise before I came, and it will come to pass. What did God do in him that made him the father of faith? The Bible says by faith we understand. So faith is not just a tool by which you receive things from God. That's a carnal, fleshly definition of faith that was crafted and concocted by people that wanted to merchandise people with the gospel. Fraudsters were the ones that concocted that definition. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 very well. It is Hebrews chapter 11, I think from verse 17 or 18, that somebody uses faith to get something. That's the first time in that whole Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Sarah received strength to bring forth, to conceive seed. That's the first time it was spoken that somebody uses faith to get something. And that's what has constituted the definition of faith right now. Meanwhile, the faith of Moses made him reject something. That man you are walking about with, that you are laughing for, if you had faith, you would have rejected him. By faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's a faith that rejects. The Bible says, by faith we understand. Oh, so faith, there are several things that we cannot understand with our mind.
If I take you to the book of Job chapter 38, you will see several things that you cannot understand with your mind. God told Job, he said, where have you ever seen where light dwells? It's only by faith you can understand that. Have you seen the hidden tabernacle of the sun? Where the sun comes out like a merchant. Your eyes cannot see that. The Bible speaks about the visible and the invisible creation. About thrones and dominions and governments. In the highs, in the heavens, high cherubs of glory. Messengers in their own stance and in their own quadrants. You lack understanding if all you know is that which your eyes are provided. You say, faith, we have to bring you to a realm where you have some understanding so that you can interact with the unseen creation as if you were seeing them. He said, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He obeyed God. The man that did not have faith could not obey God. The man that had faith could go beyond the natural because it was not reasonable to obey him like that. Only a man of faith can go that far. You see people obeying God by faith. By faith. Enoch was taken that he should not see death. And when he was taken, he left a testimony behind that he pleased. And then a carnal man, the only thing he saw is that faith is a legal tender. That doctrine has been calibrated by greed. A legal tender. Meanwhile, by faith we understand. By faith we can obey God. By faith we can understand what God demands. By faith we can do crazy things, but the only reason why we are doing it is because we hate God. By faith we reject things. The Bible says all that were tortured, they were driven out of civilization, they were offered deliverance if they denied Jesus, but the Bible said they never accepted deliverance. Their names were not chronicled, their names were not mentioned, because the Bible said they were men of whom this world was not worthy. Their works in glory and in the kingdom of God was more highly prized than the heroic works of Jephthah or Samuel and of the prophets. Because these ones, their names were not mentioned so that no mortal will see it. For their lifestyle revealed their true identity. They were immortals in the archives of glory. Their names will be written among the stars. What faith? How did Abraham become the father of that reality? The Bible says we should go and look at him. There are many things we will see. But just in case you want to follow God after the ordinance of righteousness, you will have Abraham as a case study. Rise up, let's pray tonight. Oh, 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 oh. Are you not tired of where you are in the Lord? Shiloh mama, malela bala braskama ya na mama. Oh, oh, oh. Marana nambasana. There is a place he promised us. The children of Israel go in captivity, had hope, because their fathers told them there is a land. You might strike them, you might afflict them, but they had courage to speak back to you. You can kill us, but you cannot take away the promise. A man that has a promise from God is a dangerous man. Circumstances cannot cripple him, because there's something in him that is alive. Something in him that is upheld by the integrity of God. May the Lord quicken us so that the circumstances and the things happening around will not beat us down. The Bible says that we have this treasure in vessels that are etched, that the excellency of the power might be of God. Because